gathers to talk about tonight's game. Unfiltered, uncensored, and wholeheartedly unapologetic. Get on the line with us right now, 865-200-5402. That's 865-200-5402. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony Basilio. Now, here's your host of the Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, the man who's been keeping it real for Vol fans for almost a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tony Basilio.
Basketball Jones, I got a basketball Jones, got a basketball Jones, oh baby, ooh.
Yes.
Avecum.
Ever since I was a little baby, I always be dribbling. In fact, I was the baddest dribbler in the whole neighborhood. Then one day, my mama bought me a basketball.
What a great game.
And I love that basketball.
That is fun. It's why we love college basketball.
That basketball was like a basketball.
And it's an honor and a privilege to my living Volcat whatever I'm trying to say here. We like y'all coming down here every year. We like y'all coming down here. We love each and every one of you. It's always so unbelievable, Andy Mack. Unbelievable, Andy Mack. Tennessee wins tonight, 82-80. And for all the Volcat fans, put your blue away. Put your blue away. Put on your orange. Long ride back home for nothing. We're with you every step of the way this evening. Tony Basilio reporting. Tennessee wins tonight 82-80 in a game that Tennessee completely and totally dominated. Physically shoved Kentucky all over the basketball court tonight. That was fun. That was fun. Let's go without further ado. We'll get some phone calls in here. The great Tony Jones now joins me. TJ, is that not a lot of fun to see a group of kids rise up like that? Tennessee had a plan to attack them offensively, and they started that way, they ended that way, and I thought it was apropos tonight that Williams gets the definitive touch for Tennessee down the stretch. They didn't run something for Hubs. They ran a clear out for Williams, and he delivered with a beautiful little jump hook inside.
Well, you know what? What you saw, Tony, and you know, from a basketball perspective and a coach's perspective, what they did is they ran a couple scissor cuts, and that was the third option. They had a couple primary option. They had a secondary option to get it to Hub. The first cut was just window dressing. The second cut was to get it to Hub, and they didn't get it to Hub, and that was the primary option. And then the second option was to get it to Williams, and obviously Grant got it in the low post, put his left shoulder down and got that signature jump hook, that was really the most, poignant, basket in the game, other than the out of bounds play.
Yep.
Where they lofted it, to Hub inside the lane. And he scored that. Those two was probably the signature bucket that enabled the Volunteers to beat Kentucky. But make no mistake about it,
yep,
we knew Kentucky was going to make a run, but Tennessee controlled the basketball game. And Tennessee, was the better team on this night, and they, got the win.
A lot of fun. You know, you got a 9 o'clock game. And you're thinking, how does that affect the ball game? I was talking today with Larry Vaught's views on my show. And one of the things I said to Larry is I was hoping that the 9 o'clock game would affect Kentucky a little bit. I was hoping it would affect Tennessee a little bit. Let's say this. You got a team hovering around 500. It's a late January night. We have a tremendous crowd in that place. Not only does Tennessee come with a tremendous game plan, but a tremendous crowd shows up. The king of the Volunteers, the great Bernard King, who your coaching staff, Tony, brought back here, brought back and honored all the things that you did with the great, bow thy head when you say thy name. The king of the Volunteers was here tonight.
He was here, and, you know, I had a ticket to go to the game.
Yes.
But it was just a late game, and I knew my obligations to be for the fans.
Yep.
You know, to be on the fifth quarter.
Yep.
To be on the Tony Basilio overtime show.
Yep.
And I didn't want to be in transit and, you know, an early morning and things of that nature. So I stayed away after I had been to last Saturday's game. But just watching it on TV, it was just a great crowd, reminiscent of the old days, you know, to get Bernie back. I'm glad he was there.
Yep.
And our guys just competed. They wouldn't be denied. They wanted the game more than Kentucky did.
That's a deal.
And that was evident. That was evident by watching the game.
Yep.
That was evident by the results. And I'm happy for the Volunteer Nation to be able, anytime you can be able to beat that albatross that's been around the SEC's neck for a number of years, it's a great thing to happen.
To the phones we go. We deserve nights like this. We deserve to have nice things. To the crowd tonight in Thompson Bowling Arena, we salute you. To the millions and millions listening around the world on this magical thing we call the World Wide Web, or on your smartphone, or watching us tonight on Periscope or on Facebook Live, we say to you, hello, howdy, how you be? It's an absolutely great day to be alive and well with you tonight. Let's go without further ado. We'll get as many people as we possibly can, tonight. Been a long, bad, rough week. Just got a little longer for old Ashley Judd. Let's get our first call in tonight. Hello and welcome in on your smart way, Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime, the place where we talk about it immediately after the game. Hello and welcome in to our first call.
Yo, Tony, it's Smitty. What's up?
Hey, Smitty, welcome in, buddy.
Hey, I think ESPN forgot one thing. And all these promos for the Kentucky-Kansas game.
Yes, that's right.
Let's take a look at what happened with both those teams today. So they can promo that game all they want this weekend, but they forgot that Kentucky had to go into Thompson Bowling Arena and play this team that has played with heart in every single game this season.
And West Virginia blowed out Kansas tonight, blowed them out.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, in the second half, the final 5 minutes, Bobby Huggins, I mean, they just took over. It was incredible. It's incredible in both games. And credit to Bob Huggs in this one for not, you know, there for a while. It looked like he was disappearing, but we didn't need him. The team kind of, you know, we didn't need him in that time. They kept talking about how he wasn't having a great second half. Well, I mean, everybody else is filling in for him. In the final, you know, kind of 5-6 minutes, he played fantastic. He took over. Kentucky was out of sorts. I thought Calipari was great when, you know, they thought he was yelling at the team managers. I'm pretty sure he was yelling at the Tennessee managers for not wiping the floor there after the timeout.
Yeah, I would say so. He was kind of hot. I thought for the most part, though, Tony, that was a well-played game. Tennessee tonight, and I had this tracked, okay? Let me give you guys a number. Tone, through 26 minutes of basketball tonight, the Vols had 3 turnovers in that game. Now, you're going to win a lot, or 4 turnovers, rather, because our 4th turnover was on the Briscoe miss layup. You're going to win a lot of basketball games, Tony, when you do that.
Well, you know, it all comes down to turnovers, second chance point.
Yep.
And to be able to create offense in transition or to stop teams in transition.
Yes.
And Kentucky, and you know, let's just don't look at the second half. You got to look at the totality of the game, and that's as from a coaching standpoint, you do that. In the first half, Tennessee allows Kentucky 2 fast break points.
Yep.
Two fast break points.
And they were early in the game, Tone. They were in like the first 30 seconds.
Exactly. So that enabled Tennessee to get out to the 39 to 34 point halftime lead, and that tied Kentucky's low for the season. 34 points. And Kentucky has only been down at halftime twice during the year. The other game was against UCLA. So don't discount the first half. Okay. And then the second half, you know, we get out to a double digit lead.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kentucky is scrambling now. They're just scrambling. They expending a lot of energy mm-hmm. to get back into the game. And you know, they make it a game. But they never get over the threshold because Tennessee has built up what we call, in coaching vernacular, built up enough equity during the game to be able to sustain the victory.
That was fun to watch. Anything else for us, Smitty? Go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple things. I credit Jordan Bowden on his defense and Jabari Phillips on their defense on Malik Monk. He still had a 20-figure game, but I mean, they really did a good job guarding him. I thought that Grant Williams showed that he has some balls. I mean, he played incredible
no
tonight.
Doubt.
And I'm just curious on the way out what call Don is going to complain about. I'll see you guys.
Don gets a shot taken at him. 865-200-5402. Tony Jones, Tony B. The other guys making their way out of the arena. Griff will join us later on. Hatfield will join us as well. Back to our phones we go. Really proud of Tennessee. You go inside the numbers on this one, and the numbers just tell the story. Tennessee just thoroughly outplayed Kentucky tonight. Shot the ball better than them, 47-42%. Tennessee had 64 attempts from the field, 30 of 64. Kentucky, 25 of 60, Tone. And a lot of what Kentucky did, Tennessee got them uncomfortable on the defensive end. And, Tony, it translated to the offensive end. Kentucky only 25% tonight, 6 of 24 from three-point land. Several of those were pretty good looks, but again, some were shot rather quickly. For the night, Tennessee, if they're a little better from the foul line as they've been this season, they go 17 for 27. The game really could have been put away before the final minute. I mean, the game really... The number, the final number, 82-80, is not indicative of what happened tonight in Thompson Bowling Arena. It is just not indicative as Tennessee takes a 10-point favorite to the woodshed tonight. The Vols turned the ball over only 9 times to Kentucky's 14. Tennessee had 19 points off those 14 turnovers. Kentucky had only 14 off Tennessee's 9. Kentucky out-rebounds the Vols 40-39, but big deal. I mean, the bottom line in this game is bench points, bench points, bench points. 37-4. 37-4, Tone. 37-4.
That's huge. That's a huge number. And, you know, Tennessee it's been a team, it's always been a team deal when you win in the basketball game.
Yep.
You know, you gotta look at Lamonte Turner. He logged the majority of the minutes.
Sure did.
Where Jordan Bone sat out. And how many people would have said that after the Vanderbilt game? But Lamonte Turner really played well. I mean, you've had some sarcastic remarks about this guy in the past, Tony B. But Lou Evans, Sweet Lou came through.
Oh, he balled out tonight. No doubt about it.
Sweet Lou came through. He made plays. He got rebounds. He made passes. Admiral Schofield played well. during the greater preponderance of the game. We didn't see an Admiral Schofield sighting towards the latter part of the game because Sweet Lou and Grant Williams was in the game. And then you just can't say enough about Robert Hugg. You know, I mentioned this on the television show that I do on my VL2, The Locker Room. I said it, just like I said about Jordan Money McRae, that he was going to be an NBA player. Robert Hugg potentially can play at the next level. This guy has shown me a talent level, a disposition, a motivation to try and get to the next level. And tonight, he put a stamp on it. He was the best player on the floor tonight.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. We'll get as many folks in here as we can. Smartway, Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The Vols win tonight, 82-80 over Kentucky. To our Volcat friends listening, and saw a couple shots on Twitter of guys in Tennessee sweatshirts with Kentucky hats on. Hey, y'all, you pick. It doesn't work that way. You choose. And then you cheer for one. Hey, Mickey Dearstone, you choose. And then you cheer for one. You don't have it both ways. It doesn't work like that. That's not how life works. That's not how fans of character comport themselves. We don't do that. Volcats, LGBTQ. Y'all are questioning. Let me help you. We have more fun. We have more soul. They have more wins. We may never get to a Final Four. I'm not sure where we're going to the NCAA tournament again, to be honest with you. But our fan base is so much cooler than yours. Our people are so much more heart and soul than yours. It matters here. It matters. Back to our phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, I'll just let you know I'm almost in tears right now. I love Tennessee basketball so much more than Tennessee football. And not to say I don't love Tennessee football. But I grew up when I was in middle school, was when Ernie and Bernie were playing for the Vols. It was great to see Bernard there tonight. And, you know, Ray Mears went 15-15 against Kentucky.
Yep.
In his 15 years. And
that's a hell of a record back then. That's a hell of a record back then, buddy.
You're damn right. And it was just so great to see that tonight. And you know what? Rick Barnes, he's beat him both his first 2 years.
Yep.
And I know we can criticize his recruiting.
And I will.
And I know you will. And I'll be honest with you, I've been critical of it too, Tony. But I'll tell you what, I think we're going to start pick up a snowball effect here. And, you know, Grant Williams, the way that guy battled tonight, you know, 5 of 8 from the field, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 block shots. Robert Huff, that guy's always shooting over 50% from the field, 9 of 14 from the field, 7 rebounds, 25 points. And how about Sweet Lou Evans? My son, Tony, all he could do was run his mouth and say, if we don't get Lou Evans out of the game, we're going to get beat. And I told him, I said, don't take Sweet Lou out.
Tony called it. Tony Jones told me Saturday night before we left, he said, don't sleep on Sweet Lou Evans. And Tennessee will in that 9 o'clock slot with Kansas looming, with the energy around this program, they will have an opportunity to defeat this Kentucky team.
Yeah, and
Tony was right. Tony was right.
And Admiral Schofield played a good game. 6 of 13 from the field, 7 rebounds, 15 points.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about our big people, Tony, that I like, TJ.
Mm-hmm.
We took the ball right, and I mean right, at them all night long. All night. I love. And every 50-50 ball tonight, Tony, Because you got to make up for that talent differential somewhere. You got to out-hustle your opponent. Tennessee did exactly that. I mean, they just played harder, Tone. Every 50-50 ball these guys got to. And if you want to throw an MVP out, my MVP tonight is Williams. Williams was my MVP tonight. I mean, he was phenomenal in tonight's basketball game. I've never seen a guy with this kind of line-dominated game like this. He had 13 points, 5 of 8, Tone, from the field. He gets to the line 6 times. He gets 6 boards. He records 3 blocks. He has an assist. And turns the ball over how many times, Tone? See how good you are.
0 times.
0.
Hey, Tony. Actually, he had 4 blocks.
Four blocks.
You know what? And you know what? I haven't checked it, but I would almost bet that he's leading the conference in block shots.
He is.
The guy's 6'5".
He is. And Tony said it early on this year. He said, I don't say this about many guys. He said, I'm a fan of Williams. Isn't that what you said, Tone?
That's exactly right. I really like Grant Williams.
I'm a fan.
I like his passion for the game. You know, he went down with some physical ailments, and, you know, we've all experienced those cramps in the gastrocnemius muscle, you know, which is the calf, who for the layman who don't know where that muscle is on the body. And he came back, and he made a huge play, not just one play with the jump hook in the lane, but he made a couple other plays to get the Volunteers extra possessions by being in good position. What's the caller's name? What's your name?
I'm a George Quarles fan. He shortened it to GQF, and now he calls me the Jeeker.
His name is Jeeker?
Yeah, I guess you'd call me that.
Okay, I just wanted to commend you on your passion for the Volunteers, and, you know, I could hear it in your voice that you're a true Tennessee basketball fan, and I really appreciate that, you know, it's coming from a person that's got so much love for, you know, the orange on the hardwood, and to be able to have been a part of good times in Tennessee basketball, and for us to beat Kentucky. Anytime we beat Kentucky in basketball, it's sweet. And I just wanted to tell you, I appreciate your passion. You know, I feel it. I feel it where I'm at right now, tonight, at this particular time. And, I embrace, your joy.
And I love you, Tony. You guys have a good night.
Keith Hatfield coming up. Once I get an open line, when a line becomes available, if you want to get in with us, 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you there? Go right ahead. Ah, God, I blew that person up because I heard something. What I didn't hear was it didn't sound like they were there, Tone. I apologize. Please call back. 865-200-5402. Hatfield, if you're listening, I'll get to you as soon as the line becomes available. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The King of the Volunteers undefeated this year when he speaks to the basketball team. Hello and welcome in.
Tony?
Yes.
Hey, I know there's a lot more basketball to be played, but you think after this game we got a chance of making it to the tournament?
Which tournament?
The Big Dance.
I mean, we got to play a lot more consistently than we've played. Trouble with Tennessee is we're either on or we're off. And when we're on, we're as good as anybody. And when we're off, I mean, it's the same team that, I mean, 1 week ago, we fell apart against Mississippi. And look, when you're young and you're not tremendously talented, which we're not, you've got to give that kind of effort night in and night out to win. And that's why it's so hard to do that. I mean,
yeah.
I don't want to be a downer, but that's just kind of the way it is. I want to have fun with this season, and this team is very fun to watch. They play very hard.
Well, listen, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And the last comment I'm going to make, I mean, I'm on my way home from the game.
Yeah.
And the only negative thing I'm going to say is that Coach Barnes needs to go into practice, and literally the team needs to just shoot free throws all day long. Free throws are hurting us game in and game out.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that can be coached.
I'll tell you this right now. I outside of the Mississippi game in the second half and a few other times this year, and you're going to have these moments in a long basketball season, there's relatively little, I think, to criticize coaching-wise with what's gone on here under Rick Barnes thus far. My criticism has been on the trail. If you took what you have right now and just add one more scorer, one more star, one more big person, just one, you know how good this team could be? Think about that. And I appreciate your call. Thank you. I hope you have a safe trip home. Great hearing from you. Tony, what about the foul shooting tonight? I made the case tonight that Tennessee tonight from the line certainly makes it harder on themselves than they have to be. 17 out of 27 is probably not going to work long term in terms of beating an opponent like this night in and night out. What do you think?
Can't happen. I mean, we got to do a better job from the free throw line. But you know, you try and pick and dabble at little instances of the statistics.
Yeah.
You know, hey, but you know, the key thing is the turnovers. You don't turn the ball over. Kentucky tried to put some pressure on Tennessee, and Tennessee handled the pressure.
That's right.
I was really happy with Lamonte Turner, how he handled the basketball and how he finished the game. You had a nucleus playing almost in the last 7 minutes, and that was Sweet Lou Evans, that was Grant Williams,
yep,
or either Major Schofield.
Yep.
And then you
Admiral.
Had
go ahead.
Admiral. And then you had Robert Hugg.
Yes.
And Turner. And then Bone maybe played a minute, you know, just to sub Lamonte Turner, because Lamonte played really well.
Let's make a point about Bone for a second. When he goes out and picks his second foul up, it's a 7-point game, something like that. Kentucky's up early, and they're out and running. He leaves the game. Tennessee has a tremendous run. Now, I made this point a couple weeks ago. The thing that changed from Tennessee's stellar play in December to when they got into the early part of the year and kind of looked lost was they handed him the basketball. And I'm not knocking him. It's just the way it is. For some reason, and basketball is a weird game. You explain this to me. You tell me if I'm out of bounds here. Because I mentioned this a couple shows back after one of the games. I'm not picking at him. I have no agenda one way or the other. I mean, who plays? Whoever plays is who's going to play. Tony, why does it look like they're more comfortable without him in the game right now? Why does it just look that way? What is that? Explain that to me. Or am I seeing things?
No, I just think, you know, it's inconsistency. It's him being a freshman. You got to remember that Lamonte Turner is a red shirt guy. He's been here for 2 years now. And, you know, he's got a little bit more experience. You can't rest on your laurels. You know, you have a great game against Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt played a poor game, but then he looked terrible against Ole Miss. You know, the game that we lost. And then he came back and he played a little bit more within himself against Mississippi State, which was good. You know, he really didn't force his offense, but I think he looked to be a little bit overly aggressive tonight, and I think we just played better without him in the basketball game. It's as simple as that, and that's, you know, where you come in, the coaches, and you know, you got to have a feel of the game. You got to have a feel of what's going on during
particular segments of the game, and Coach Barnes and his staff kind of rolled a five that he thought was cohesive, and that cohesiveness and that five proved to be a winning combination tonight.
Back to our phones we go, 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
Hello. Hello, man. What's up, TJ? Tony Jones.
What's up, brother?
Tony Jones.
What's your name?
What's up, Tony Jones? Yeah, man. I'm all right.
What's up?
Oh, man. I appreciate y'all post-game show tonight, man. I mean, it's late night in Big Orange Country. A sweet late night victory with Sweet Lou Flurry. I'm giving one of my game bosses, Sweet Lou, that flurry he had tonight, man. That got us over the hump.
He had a flurry tonight, TR. I agree. He played really hard in tonight's game. Tony's right. Hey, probably without his effort out there tonight, I'm not sure if Tennessee gets out of there with a win, because he really helped Tennessee along when you started having the injury issue with Williams and Sweet Lou Evans tonight picked up the slack. He went 3 of 4 from the field and really only had that 1 minute there with about 2 minutes where he just tried to do something a little too quickly.
Right. It was that one downtown ball was shades of Mark in your face. Marky boy in your face, Griffin.
Who was on today.
He said,
yeah.
Limited Lou got that for you, baby. Limited Lou in your face. he drained it, man. I mean, that dude, he's got an inside-outside game, but he's more inside, but he's not bashful because downtown, Sweet Limited Lou, baby!
TR, are you calling him Limited Lou?
No, I'm just following up on Monkey Boy Griffin's commentary the other night.
That's so funny. That is so great. How fun is it, TR, to beat those kids,
hey,
and to beat those Kentucky bums that were in that building, that bought their way in our building tonight? They were all over the downstairs. How fun is it to send those people home with a long trip for nothing?
Oh, man, I'm just glad the turnout we got on a late night over there, man. It looked like, from my vantage point, it was a strong effort on the Big Orange faithful. It was a throng of Big Orange faithful there tonight, man.
TR, I love you and appreciate you, man. Thank you, brother.
All right, man. Yeah!
Power play on, as TR likes to say. That is some funny stuff. Tone, don't you love hearing the Tone, don't you love hearing the passion from a guy like TR?
TR came with it. I mean, he just a passionate UT fan. And that's what it's all about. I mean, we cherish each and every time we could beat Big Blue Nation in basketball. And I just love for the fans that paid that top dollar to buy a ticket from UT fans who sold those tickets, and for them to drive back down 75 heading north in a quandary.
Unbelievable, Andy Mack. Let's bring in Keith Hatfield, who hates Kentucky mercilessly. Hatfield, welcome in, brother. How you doing?
Doing fantastic, Tony. I don't know that I could have gotten a better night of college basketball than what I got out of this season.
Unbelievable. And both of them were the front ends tonight, back-to-back on ESPN. That was wow. You said it Saturday, Kentucky's perimeter-oriented. And tonight they got lulled into that, didn't they?
They did, and for the second straight game, I mean, Malik Monk got some numbers tonight. That's the second straight game that I think Gordon Bowden has guarded a really, really good offensive to great offensive player. And I think he's been really good both nights. I mean, I thought he did a great job on Kendari Weatherspoon Saturday. And I thought for the most part, he did a really nice job on Malik Monk tonight. I mean, Malik Monk's going to get his numbers against anybody. That's a guy who fed North Carolina about 50. He's going to get his numbers against anybody.
Tony, what'd you think of Bowden's back-to-back effort against two very good scorers in the college game?
You know what? He's played well. He's played within himself. He's a guy that's obviously not highly recruited, but, you know, he came in and played his role. You know, he didn't knock down a lot of three-point shots, and that's been his primary role, to stretch the defense and knock down open shots. But he played really, really sound defensively. I a lot of people have said that, you know, Kentucky was made, you may catch them looking ahead to the game against Kansas in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. I don't buy it. I just think that on tonight's occasion, Tennessee was the better basketball team. They wanted the game.
Yep.
They played with more intensity, more veracity.
Yep.
Obviously, the field goal percentage showed it out. And then the coaching staff had the players ready to play, and they put them in position offensively and defensively to be successful.
Perfect night. Kids executed. Keith, it was a great night. I mean, it was just an awesome night.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, they got the ball. Every time Kentucky made a run and got it close, Tennessee got the ball to people who got baskets. I mean, they got the ball to Hubs in the post a couple of times. I mean, now they did get a basket out of, I think it was Grant Williams made a shot that looked like he almost threw it through the backboard and it went in when I think Kentucky had it down to two or four. I mean, Tennessee got a little fortunate on that one, but generally they got the ball where they needed to. I mean, outside of the free throw shooting tonight, I don't think there's much you could take. There wasn't any facet of the game where I thought Tennessee didn't play fairly well. I thought they held their own on the boards against Kentucky. I mean, the one thing you could see tonight that Tennessee still lacks is a post defensive presence. Because I mean, anytime Kentucky was able to get the ball down to Bam Adebayo, it was pretty much either a dunk or two free throws. But I mean, that's a weakness this team has, and they've got to compensate for it, and tonight they were able to do that.
To show you the impact that Williams, Tony, has on that game, tonight when he goes out, Bam automatically becomes the option. I mean, they're just bombarding Tennessee with Bam there when he was on the bench. Did you guys notice that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Grant was the one guy who was kind of holding his ground against.
Yes, he was. A lot of fun. Go ahead, Tone. We'll go back to the phones.
Well, I just think that you know, our interior, other than that little stretch where Bam Adebayo played really, really well, where he, scored inside and got fouled. And you know what? You know, you got to give it up to Bam. He kind of kept him in the game because he made the free throws, and he's not been a good free throw shooter throughout the season, but he knocked down the free throws. But other than Bam, I think, you know, Gabriel wasn't a factor.
No.
Willis, the senior from Kentucky, you know, he wasn't a factor. And then Briscoe was, he's a feast or famine. You know, he missed the wide open layup in the run out when he got the steal. And even though he was a mainstay on the defensive glass, he rebounded the ball. I think he had double-digit rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
He really didn't show his wares offensively. And De'Aaron Fox, you could see that he was still kind of slowed by the ankle injury that happened on Saturday.
One other thought, Keith. Historically, this Tennessee series, when we get him in Knoxville, and this dates back to Tony's time, before Tony's time, my time on campus as a student. I was talking with Mark Griffin today about my first game as a Vol. I watched a 500 Tennessee basketball team, kind of similar to this team. They were a couple years away from making it in the NCAA tournament. The Vols were then. And this is in 1988, spring of 88. I guess the next year they would have gone. But at any rate, we were talking about the game Tennessee wins 72-70 when Greg Bell had the tip-in at the end of the game. And there's always been something about this series where 60% of the time, I went and looked it up for the blog today, 60% of the time, Tennessee gets a split in this series. Most years, Tennessee gets a split in this series, and that's the way this series has gone. And there was some history on that basketball court tonight. I mean, there's just no denying that. We are Kentucky's nemesis when they come into our building. It's just the way it is.
Well, I've always said, to me, the main job of the head basketball coach at Tennessee is to protect home floor against Kentucky and beat Vanderbilt. I mean, anything that flows from that is secondary to me. I mean, that to me is the job of the Tennessee basketball coach, is to beat Kentucky and Knoxville and beat Vanderbilt. And to this point, I think Rick Barnes is at least handling that portion of his job rather well.
Back to the phones we go. And let's go to as many folks in here as humanly possible tonight. 865-200-5402 to our next call. Welcome in.
What's up, guys? Roberto.
Hey, buddy. Welcome in.
How great is it to be two of our biggest rivals in two different sports?
Oh, my God. That's so fun.
Do you realize we haven't beat Kentucky in basketball and Florida in football in like 15 years in the same year? It's exciting, man. I'm glad for those kids over on campus. They got a taste of what it used to be like when I was in college. Those students were rowdy tonight. It was really fun to watch. I didn't get to go, but at the same time, I kind of enjoyed watching it at home because I didn't make an ass out of myself in public. But if there's nothing worse than a Volcat, I don't know what it is. But tell me one quick thing, and that is this. If I told you a guy had 13, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 blocks and 2 steals, you'd think I was talking about Josh Richardson, right? I was blown away at the ability of Grant Williams to do things that I never thought he could do on a basketball court tonight. I was very impressed. And he probably locked up a spot on the All-SEC freshman team tonight, I believe.
Tony Jones, thoughts on Williams' night?
I mean, you know, hey, his stats speak for itself. 5 for 8 from the field. 6 rebounds, 4 blocks, no turnovers, and you know what? I'm watching ESPN show highlights of the game right now, and the big steal that he made to enable the run out for Robert Hubbs to get that slam dunk that put us up by 7, and in essence, we were never headed or never threatened after that. You know, the kid has really shown that he's a overachiever. I mean, you never know what we're recruiting. You never can measure someone's heart in recruiting. And this kid has got a chip on his shoulder. People have told him that he's too short. He's not athletic enough. He's not skilled enough to be able to play at this level. And he's proven a lot of people wrong at this point.
Tony, really quick, and then I'll jump. I'd like Keith to weigh in on, we're redshirting Jalen Johnson, and I just want Keith to weigh in what he thinks that kid will bring to this team next year. I don't think we're making the tournament this year. I do believe we'll probably, after tonight, make the NIT, which is a really good step for this team. We have an outside shot at the tournament. We could actually win the SEC tournament this year because we just beat the best team in the league. So who knows, guys?
Thank you, brother.
Proud of the team, proud of the effort.
Good talking to you. What about Jalen Johnson, Keith?
Well, I mean, I think he'll add another score on the wing. I think he adds another offensive option out front. I mean, and you can never have too many guys who can shoot it and score in the modern game. And one thing about Grant Williams tonight, I mean, the basket he gets at the very end of the game when Tennessee's up 3, I mean, that's the ball game. When it's whatever it was, 78, 75 or whatever, and with about 25 seconds to go, I mean, that little half hook, half throw in the lane, I mean, that's the ball game right there. He misses that, you're coming down and you've got a couple, 3 really good 3-point shooters taking a shot to tie you. And that's the kind of play that you don't expect a freshman to make at the end of a game against the Kentuckys of the world, but he did, and I mean, and somebody that's gotten absolutely hammered on here and I've been as guilty as anybody. I mean, that is by a factor of about 50, the best game Lou Evans has played at Tennessee.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, that was an awesome, awesome, awesome. And Tony, here's the thing about a kid like that. Don't you feel great for a kid like that, Tony? To have a night like that?
He's a kid that, you know, he's a fifth-year senior, you know, one of those kids that has that extra year, that loophole the NCAA has allowed us to have where, you know, this particular school has my major, my master's major, my graduate major that the school that I just attended doesn't have. So, but it's all good. You know what? He showed some maturity and experience in the last 5 minutes of the game that only in some instances accomplished players or experienced players can pull off. And that's what he did. And then, you know, you had Grant and you had Lou Evans in the game as your 4 and 5. And then you had, Schofield, and then you had Hubs and Lamonte Turner in the game, which was a cohesive unit that proved to be the unit that made the Kentucky Wildcats go down. They went down tonight, Tony. They went down.
That's fun stuff. Let's go back to our phones. The great Marky Boy Griffin will join us, who called the shot today. Let's go back to the phones. Get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. It's Sergio.
Hey, Sergio.
Man, you know, I called it this morning or earlier today when I, you know, recounted Dan Fetterman toppling the Twin Towers back in 84.
You called it.
Lou Evans came in and you know, embodied the Dan Fetterman spirit. You know, Tennessee came out of the dressing room and our 3 stars punched Kentucky's 5 stars in the face. And Kentucky got up, took a swing, missed. And, you know, basically our guys jumped on their chest and just beat their heads into the court. I loved it. You know, that 3-pointer at the end was, you know.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to say. You know, to be honest with you, I didn't know whether we had the athleticism to stay with them. My hope was they would miss their shots and not have a good night from the field, which is what you had to have. I mean, it's what we talked about coming into the game. And you know what? It's what these rivalry games are all about. These rivalry games are all about the team with lesser talent, as Tony said, rising up and balling out and the crowd feeding on that. That's why there's upsets in college basketball. Look, tonight, 3 of the top 4 teams in America fell. All 3 of those teams were prohibitive underdogs that won games. It's the nature of the sport, and it was fun to see tonight.
You know, Tony, you mentioned earlier about being, you know, if we had one more scorer. Well, we've got one sitting on the end of the bench, you know, left-handed John Fulkerson, you know, who maybe, I don't know, maybe him not being there has caused Grant Williams to be a man and Robert Hubs to finally play to his potential. What do you think about that, Tony Jones?
Well, you know what? I like John Fulkerson. I think he's going to be a really good player. Hopefully, you know, we could redshirt him and he could be one of those guys that could be a 4-year guy and could be a nucleus, a part of this, you know, this other part for this freshman and sophomore class. But you know what? It's just, you know, you just want to savor any victory that you get over Kentucky. I mean, I know my time on the Hill, when we were able to beat Kentucky that one time in Rupp Arena was special. And then the multiple times we beat them in Knoxville was always special. And I'm just happy for these guys. I'm happy for the coaching staff. I think the coaching staff put the players in position to be successful.
Great.
I think the scout was important. We scored on some of our out-of-bounds plays where
the TV show pictures of Calipari looking at his assistants and like, man, I thought we went over this, but we still scored. And then, you know, we got run out when we needed them, and we got important baskets when we needed them. And this was the key thing. We didn't wither when Kentucky made their run. You know, Kentucky made their run. We knew they was going to make the run, but we didn't wither. We still came up with key baskets, key steals, key plays. Tony alluded to this earlier in the broadcast. We were on every 50-50 ball where we were the guys that it was a 50% chance that we got it and a 50% chance Kentucky got it, but the Volunteers prevailed the majority of the time.
Great, great college basketball game, Sergio.
Thanks, guys.
It's why we love the game, man. Thank you, brother. And truly, it's why we love the game. Hatfield, tonight we saw why you're so passionate about this game. I mean, tonight is college basketball on display all over the country, but really here as well.
Oh, no doubt, Tony. But one thing, and I'm sitting here watching highlights on CBS Sports, and I just saw something on the crawl I've got to ask a question about and get both your and Tony's opinion of. If Southern Miss thinks Donnie Tindall is so corrupt, how in the hell do they hire a guy who signed off on him to be the coach here to be their athletic director?
We'll do that another time. Come on, Keith, don't do that to me. Let me go back to our... Why is Keith trying to drag me into that? Let's bring Griff in here. Griff, welcome in. How you doing, brother?
Fantastic, Tony. I tell you what, I don't know if I'll be able to sleep tonight. I'm so excited. And I'm really excited for this team. And the fans that came out tonight that are listening to your show, the listeners, unbelievable turnout tonight and stood up more times tonight and throughout plays that I've seen in several years, it seems like. So it was just a will to win, and I'm just really proud of everybody involved.
Other thoughts. Today we talked about the 500 team in 87-88 that you were a part of that had that one shining moment. We used the thing from the March Madness thing. Tony tonight said it was awesome college basketball to see kids rise and play the way Tennessee played tonight. Get everything out of what they have, plus a great scout, plus punch a team in the mouth like Kentucky, and made Kentucky wither. I mean, Mark, it was really special tonight. That was a special thing we saw in that arena tonight because, truthfully, Kentucky's got at least three pros on their basketball team, and I think one of them's going to be a hell of a pro. That Monk kid can really play.
Yes, and y'all were talking earlier about the defense that Jordan Bowden did. I think he did an exceptional job because Monk could have had, you know, like you said, against North Carolina, what he had 48, and he would have had 30-something if Jordan didn't do what he did and just had a hand in his face the whole time and bodied him up every time he came through the lane, made him really work for his points. But now let's take a look at that pre-SEC schedule now and see how much that's come into play for a game like tonight. I think that really shows that the losses that they had, the close losses, when these kids got in the situation tonight, they could look back mentally and say they've already been in this position against tough talent and are able to overcome any failure that they had before, was able to, you know, will themselves to victory. But looking back at that pre-SEC games that they played, I think it has really helped them for this evening for sure.
Tony, we talked about that Saturday. If there's justice in the world, Tennessee deserved to win one of these. I mean, they bit around the apple so many times. Why not take a real big bite? Tonight was that bite, Tone. They deserve to win that game tonight.
I mean, North Carolina, Gonzaga.
Yes.
Wisconsin.
Yes.
Oregon. All top-tier basketball teams.
The Zags.
Not to mention Florida.
Yes.
Not to mention South Carolina. And then to put a bow on it, to beat a Kentucky team in Knoxville. So, you know, the schedule has proven to be fruitful. Kudos to the staff that went out and played these type of teams.
Yep.
And you know what? And then you go and play an East Tennessee State team, Coach Steve Forbes, up in Johnson City. That was a tough venue. And then UT Chattanooga, the team that we lost to earlier in the year, is going to be possibly an NCAA tournament team. So all the way around, mid-major to high major, the team has played a quality schedule. But, you know, let me put this in perspective. The team is 11-9 and 4-4 in the league. And we got a bragging game, you know, Saturday against Kansas State. And Kansas State beat West Virginia, last week, and West Virginia beat Kansas today. So, you know, you gotta come back and that will be a big game as it pertains to possibly getting into the NIT. And seeding in the NIT.
I want to enjoy this one, Ton. I want to enjoy this one. And you know what? Tonight's game almost takes a lot of the pressure off because, I mean, Griff, you got to win one of these. That's the bottom line. You got to win one of these games. It's great for your program to win one of these games.
Well, it's great for the program, and it's also great for recruiting. I know, you know, you've talked a lot, and it's been mentioned about the three stars that they have, but I'm sure the coaches couldn't wait or can't wait to get on that phone to talk to these kids. Hey, did you see that game? Did you see where we're going with this? Did you see what kind of job Coach Barnes does as far as coaching? And it's
Agreed.
Just got to help in recruiting.
Yep.
And you got to take advantage of games like this while you can, because, you know, you're up against such talent, all the way around with Kentucky. So you just got to, you know, strike it while it's hot, Tony.
Back to the phones we go. And let's get our next call in as Marky Boy Griffin, Tony Jones, and you, the great Keith Hatfield as well. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in. Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. The Vols defeat Kentucky tonight. And thank you to Marcos Garza for making this possible. GarzaLaw.com online for all your needs. Whatever they may be. Let's go back to our phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, this is Twitter's wise old BHJ. How you fellas doing?
Hey, brother, welcome in.
Man, I just want to say, man, I hate Kentucky so much. I don't really even understand why. I hate them more than I hate Alabama football or Florida football or ISIS or just about anything. Nothing makes me feel better in the sports world, I don't think, than sending those knuckle dragon mouth breathers back north with their heads hanging down. And a couple of observations. I wanted to get one of the ushers to get one of the towel kids up in section 318 tonight to just kind of like wipe up the grease from the knuckles dragon up there. Just kind of gross.
All the Kentucky fans, all the Wildcats, all the Volcats tonight, one of whom takes to the air at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
And I hope that, I hope there's a big traffic jam, you know, I hope nobody gets hurt or anything, but I hope there's a big traffic jam about Jellicoe Mountain, and I hope they have to sit there for about 4 hours and just sit there. And they can't get home and get to their beds. And then when they get home and get in their beds, I hope they can't sleep, Tony. I hope they're just miserable. And I hope they call in sick at work tomorrow. And, I just want them to have a couple of days of just absolute misery. And I want, and if it wasn't a 9 o'clock game, I might try to get the official UK Twitter account to block me before the night was over. But, I don't know about that. But, that's about all I got. I just wanted to kind of pass along my feelings on the knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing, big blue mist, and that's about all I got. Go on.
We hate Kentucky. I'm glad they're on our schedule. I'm glad we're back to playing them twice in a year. Keith, did you witness anything in the arena tonight that was worthy of mention? Like a couple years ago, you came on here and shot on some Kentucky fans. Did you see any of that tonight?
No, there weren't many around me tonight for some reason, Tony. There were a few, but they weren't
terribly obnoxious, certainly not Real Housewives of Middlesbrough quality or anything, and nobody I had to threaten to jerk a knot in or anything. So no, it was relatively tame tonight.
Real Housewives of Middlesbrough. Why hasn't that been done? That would be on Tony Jones' DVR. Unbelievably. Am I wrong, Tony Jones?
You are exactly right, Tony B.
Back to the phones we go. 865-2.
Did you see the best score of the night, Tony?
Which was?
How in the world do you get beat by 55 at home?
I didn't see
Pittsburgh got beat 106-51 at home.
Whew.